very good evening, brethren. Apologies once again for the mix-up that we experienced. It seems we couldn't differentiate a valley from a hill. So now we know better. It is a great privilege to stand before you all the way from Zambia. Special thanks to the church eldership for extending this invitation to me to come and share in God's word this Wednesday evening. I just pray and trust that we will be blessed together as we go through God's word. I'll ask that we turn to our Bibles, to the book of Acts and chapter 2. The book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and we're going to read from verse 42. And if you'd love a title for today, this evening's message, we are simply trying to ask, to answer the question, why the church, or why do we need to belong to a church? Excuse me. Why the church? Acts chapter 2, and we are reading from verse 42. Acts chapter 2, reading from verse 42. The Bible reads, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together, and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings, and distributing the proceeds to all, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together, and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved." Now, there are certain things that we do in this life which we just take for granted. And we just flow into them as the right thing to do. Sometimes we do not pause to think and ask the question why we do them. One of these things is going to church and belonging to a local church like this one. Why must we belong to a local church? Why can't we move, either move from church to church, or simply stay at home and listen to pre-recorded messages, or even messages from the television? Why should we gather together in local churches? Well, because God created the church, we must refer back to Him for the answers to these questions. So, why the local church? Let's study this topic under the following headings. Firstly, we want to see or to show that it is God's will that there should be the local church. Secondly, that it is God's will that belonging to such a local church should benefit us, those of us who belong and are members of a local church. It is God's will that we should benefit from belonging to the local church. Thirdly, that it is God's will that belonging to a local church should bring glory to His name. So, three things. Firstly, it is God's will that there should be the local church, and that there should be church membership, or people who belong to the local church as members. The call to church membership can be seen from, firstly, the Great Commission, and the teaching of Scripture. In the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, reading from verse 16 to 20, we read the Lord Jesus Christ clearly tells his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations and teaching them to observe all that which he had commanded them. If you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, we find these words written there. Hebrews and chapter 10, verse 24 says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So Hebrews tells us that those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ should meet together to encourage each other. The objective of the Great Commission is not only salvation, but the gathering of the believers or those who are saved in local assemblies as church members. Hence, it mentions the making of disciples. We have just seen in Hebrews 10 a clear-cut instruction for the believers to gather together. Furthermore, we are now looking at the call for us to belong to the local church. There are plenty of what are normally referred to as one another passages in the Bible, which clearly show that the believers must operate together in an assembled family unit. For example, examples of these one another passages, the Bible says, love one another, bear with one another's burdens, be gentle with one another, forgive one another, mourn with those who mourn, rejoice with those who rejoice, and all these are one another passages. In other words, things that believers ought to do to one another or for one another. Now we are saying the one another passages are only tenable in a family setup, in a local church setup. You cannot be alone at home and obey the one another passages. Furthermore, it was the practice of the Lord Jesus Christ with respect to his disciples when he was here on earth to gather them together as a flock. Notice his words in John chapter 10 and reading from verse 1. The Bible says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The sheep that belonged to Christ's flock were all known by name." He knew his flock by name. So it was not just a scattered flock. One day there's this one, the other day there's this one. It was a known flock. He knew each one by name, and he led each one by name. That is an example of the church, that God wants us to be gathered as individuals known to God, individuals known to each other as a flock. Furthermore, the call to church membership It was the practice of the New Testament church when we studied the Bible. It was the practice of the New Testament church to assemble in these in local churches. Those who got saved gathered together in local assemblies for fellowship and worship. We have seen already in Acts chapter 2, reading from verse 41. I'll read 41 and 42 again to remind us what was happening in the New Testament. It says, "So those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." What was the practice in the New Testament? People became Christians from all sorts of places, but immediately they became Christians, they got baptized, and God started meeting in a local church. They did not just go their way and say, "Thank you for the salvation, I'll continue leading my life out there." They assembled, they met in a local church. The church is clearly defined as an assembly of believers with well-defined leadership in the New Testament. So that should give us an idea that God calls us to believe in him, yes. To be saved, yes. But after we are saved, he calls us to be members of a local church, and we are saved for a reason. Taking us to our second point, that it is God's will that this membership should benefit the church member. In other words, church membership or belonging to the church was never meant to be aimless. It was never meant to be like just belonging to a club, just for the sake of the name. God created the local church, and he exhorts his children to belong to the local church for a reason. And the first reason we are seeing is so that we might derive benefit from the local church. What is the biblical objective? Why does God want his children to gather together in local assemblies? Well, we see that these local assemblies are meant to, firstly, benefit the church member. The question is always asked, why should I become a church member? Well, we are saying this evening, because of the benefits that God has attached to the local church. God himself has put blessings which can only be gotten from belonging to his church in a local setup. There are many benefits which come with church membership. Let us sample a few of them this evening. Church membership identifies you as a genuine believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and enables you to take part in the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. Romans chapter 12, and reading from verse 4, the Bible says, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." Ephesians 2:19 tells us, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." Identity. But furthermore, the local church gives you a place to discover and use your spiritual gifts. The Bible tells us that when you become a Christian, immediately you receive a gift, a spiritual gift. You might not even realize it, but the Bible tells us that when you become a believer, God gives you a spiritual gift. Now, it is in the context of the local church that those gifts are firstly identified, and secondly developed, and thirdly used, put at the disposal of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. God does not give us gifts so that we can stay at home and just hide them under the carpet or in the wardrobe at home. God gives His children gifts so that they can come in a local church set up and put them at the disposal of the church or the saints. So the local church provides us with a place to discover, develop, and use our spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." But the local church, what other benefits do we get from the local church? The local church places you under the spiritual protection of godly leaders. The local church places you under the protection of godly leaders. Hebrews 13 and verse 17 tells us, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls." When we were coming here, the brother was with in the vehicle. We were just discussing about Psalm 23, how the psalmist says, "The Lord is my shepherd," and we were just discussing how that we are like sheep, and sheep is very vulnerable. Sheep is very vulnerable to many dangers, wild animals, snakes, wrong food, poisonous water, the heat. We are like sheep and we need to be shepherded. And the Lord Jesus Christ has placed within the local church godly men, leaders, to shepherd us, to protect us, to ensure that we do not go astray in this wicked world. So that benefit is to be found. I think let's get a sample from Acts 20, how it worked out in practice in the New Testament. This shepherding and protecting of our souls from many dangers. Acts chapter 20, and reading from verse 28, the Apostle Paul is about to leave the church at Ephesus. Perhaps let's pick it up from verse 26. It says, "Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which He obtained with His own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." So there we are. There's great danger out there, and the protection from this danger is to be found in the church leadership. God has given us the mandate to shepherd our souls, to watch over our souls so that we do not go astray. And immediately if we claim to be Christians, we must immediately see the good that God is doing to us by giving us leaders. And the Bible says, submit to them. There are many who claim to be church members, but they don't listen to their church leaders. They don't submit to their church leaders. They don't get the advice that the church leaders are giving them. They do their own thing. They are like sheep who will not follow their shepherds. But we are saying, or the Bible is showing us, that in the local church, God protects us through our leaders for a purpose he has given them to us. But furthermore, the local church gives us a place where we can be, or the accountability for us to grow as Christians. The accountability for us to grow as Christians. It makes you accountable to someone so that you grow as a Christian. In a family, even in our natural families, we are accountable to each other. Brothers, sisters, mother, father, there is accountability. We don't just do our own thing even in our natural families. So in the church, we are accountable to each other. So if one of us belonging to the church is going astray, the other church member is supposed to go up to them and say, brother, sister, why are you taking this route? It is wrong for you to do what you are doing. Look at what the Bible says. So it makes us accountable to live lives that are accountable. So that is a great benefit, because family members are accountable to each other and they should not live as they please. I've heard of people who live their lives alone and they die alone. When they make mistakes, they will listen to no one. That's not what God intends for his children. God wants us to belong to a family. God wants us to listen to each other. God wants us to take it to heart when we are corrected and to do something about the correction. For this reason, he has given us the local church, and that is one of the benefits, so that we do not stray from him and harm ourselves. I will refer you back to the one another passages that we mentioned in our first point, that there are a lot of things that God says we should do for or to one another. Now, these one another passages show us that the church provides you with a spiritual family to support and encourage you in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this support can be spiritual, emotional, material, as we saw in Acts chapter 2 and in Hebrews chapter 10. But God wants his family to be closely knit together, so that they can minister to each other's needs in a real and practical way. You see, God does not want us just to be friendly strangers with each other. Friendly strangers, very friendly to each other, but we are still strangers to each other. That's not what God wants. God wants us to be a closely knit family, where we know what is happening in each other's families, where we can be part of each other, and where no one will be lonely. You see, just think about it. As human beings, what is our greatest need? Many in this world imagine that their greatest needs are material or financial. But they are still lonely, they are still depressed, they are still going all sorts of negative things. Their families are still breaking down. When the Lord Jesus Christ was asked what was the greatest commandment, he answered in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 onwards, he replied, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." Then he went on to give the second greatest, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And God gives us the local church where we can practice this love for our neighbor. You see, the greatest need that human beings have is firstly to have a right relationship with God. And secondly, to have this right relationship with God translate into right relationships with fellow human beings. In the church, God wants his children to reap the maximum benefit of good relationships with their brothers and sisters. So when we come to the one another passages in the epistles, they are nothing but an amplification of the second greatest commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Let's look at some of them. Why do we say so? How does God want his children to relate with each other? If we turn to Romans chapter 12 in verse 10, we meet those one another verses again. Verse 10, love one another. Verse 10, outdo one another in showing honor. Verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Verse 16, live in harmony with one another. We jump to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. It tells us, be kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. And by placing you in the church, God is putting you in a community that he has best fitted to look after fellow human beings. Yes, the church, the local church, is not perfect. It will never be perfect on this side of eternity. But it is still the best equipped institution in the whole universe to meet our human needs in their diversity. Far from perfect, a lot of flaws, a lot of problems in the local church, but it is still the best fitted institution because God has fitted it to be that way. Because God is at work in the local church, it is the one which is most fitted to meet our every need. Doesn't matter what it is. You see, loneliness and not lack of money or material things is at the center of many human problems. Depression and anxiety continue to claim its victims. And people run to the psychiatrist for answers. And the only thing that is achieved is the psychiatrists have been made richer and richer. But the problem remains. Problems are not going away. Answers are not to be found with the psychiatrist. Answers are to be found in the church. Is it not true that as human beings, we are not only seeking for people to talk to, but we are looking for people who can truly understand us? And this is what God wants to do in the church. There should therefore be no excuse for lonely or destitute Christians in the midst of the church family. And as we move to our last point, I just want to ask you a few questions. What is church to you? What does church mean to you? Is church family to you? How do you respond when you are in distress? Are you allowing the other church members to get into your life? Are you allowing them even to correct you when you are in the wrong? In Acts chapter 4, we are told the story of Peter and John, how they were imprisoned and threatened by the Sanhedrin. But immediately they were released. Notice how it says they went to their own people, meaning the church. They went to their own people. Back home, one of the things that discourages me is to have a church member going through difficult time, and perhaps they manage to get out of the difficult times, and then they are sharing with you, saying, the past 3 months were bad. I had a terrible time the past 3 months, but now I'm okay. Perhaps they even disappear from church when they are passing through the difficult time. And then I ask, but what is church to this person? Are we not family? Are we not brothers and sisters? Hasn't God given us to each other so that when you are passing through distressing times, we should be by your side and help you to go through it? Like John and Peter ran to their own people because they knew that they were being threatened with death. And if you read that passage I just quoted, Acts chapter 4, notice how immediately they share with their own people. The whole group just comes together in prayer to God as one man, as one person. In other words, John and Peter's problems become their own. They take them as their own and they present them before God until the building was shaken. But let us move on to our last point, that it is God's will. We are just coming from the benefits that God wants us to benefit from the local church. Don't be satisfied with just saying, I belong to a local church, and you have got nothing to show for it. God wants you to benefit from this family unit. God wants you to be cared for in this family unit. God wants your soul to be shepherded in this family unit. So there are definite benefits that God has got for his own people through this family unit called the church. But we are saying, finally, it is God's will that this church membership to a local church we are talking about should bring glory to his name. Our personal salvation and the benefits that flow to us were not meant to be an end in themselves. You see, God is equipping us to bring glory to his name as individual church members, as families, and as a corporate unit. Many church members make a mistake of starting and ending with the benefits. And unfortunately, we are also living at a time when there are a lot of misleading teachings concerning this matter. There are many churches who mislead their people by making them believe that the church life is all about getting benefits like health and wealth. You see, by serving you and putting you in a loving church community, God is equipping you to serve him in this world. It is like the benefits enjoyed by the military people. And there are certain benefits which only military people enjoy. But to what end do they enjoy these benefits? Are these benefits given to them so that they can just have a nice time? Can you imagine a soldier, after being given the best training and all the benefits, when war breaks out, refusing to go to war? And just perhaps lying on the sofa and saying, keep the benefits coming, but I'm not going to war. You go alone. But the benefits, keep them coming. Can you imagine a soldier like that one? Not too long ago, I think America lost one of its famous musicians, and I was just attracted to the news surrounding her funeral, and it was pointed out that she benefited a lot from belonging to a local church when she was young, that in fact her gift was her talent to sing was discovered and groomed in the church. But the thing I found sad about her story was that after she discovered this gift and it was groomed and she started using it and started becoming famous, she turned her back on the church and simply went her own way to do her own thing. Many years she was doing her own thing. Unfortunately, she only returned to the church of her childhood to receive one final benefit. The Christian general. How sad. That one should benefit in her childhood, and this talent she had, turn her back on the church just to do her own thing, nothing to do with God, and only to return in a casket. That is not what God means for us. And that is not what God has in store for us with respect to the local church. It is not just to come and grab a few things from church and then do our own thing. God is calling us for a definite purpose, and God is giving us all these benefits for a definite purpose. As we benefit as believers, God is equipping us, calling us to be assemblies of. I'll give you some of the things that God is calling His church to be. Assemblies of true worshippers. Those who worship God in truth and in spirit. Isn't that what the Lord Jesus Christ taught the woman at the well? In John chapter 4 verse 23 onwards, you can read about it. That God is looking for true worshippers. Those who worship Him in truth and in spirit. And for this reason, He is raising up local churches so that He can point the world. Do you want examples of a people who worship in truth and spirit? Go to so and so local church. You will find them there. So God wants the local church to be an assembly of true worshippers. But furthermore, God wants the local church to be an assembly of witnesses, those who will proclaim His name, those who will spread His word. We saw in the Great Commission how God, how the Lord Jesus Christ says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. As individuals and as assemblies of believers, go and carry the good news. So God is looking for local churches who will share the good news with others, who will not keep it to themselves. God is looking for Christians who will share the good news with others. If you call yourself a Christian today, do you share the good news with others? Do you share the good news with family? Do you share the good news with schoolmates? Do you share the good news with college mates, workmates, neighbors? But furthermore, God is equipping the church to be an assembly of holy people. Holy people. And these holy people who will be a challenge to the present dark and wicked world.
Yeah.
A holy nation and a royal priesthood. Isn't that what 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us?
Yeah.
Verse 4 to 5 says, as you come to Him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, have been built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellences of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Has Jesus Christ called you out of darkness? Has Jesus Christ saved you from sin? If He has, Peter tells us that He has done it so that you may proclaim the excellences of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. God wants His church to be a light shining out for all to see. The Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 5 verse 14 tells His church that you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. In the midst of the darkness in this world, God must be able to point at you as an example of a holy person in town. So God, when God wants to point the non-believers to how a holy person looks like, God must be able to say, go to such and such Christo Baptist. Is it Vary or Hugh?
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Go to that church and you will find examples of how a holy person looks like. When God wants to show the world how a holy child or a child who is living a holy life in the house under his or her family, God must be able to point, say, go to such and such local church, you will find so and so. You remember the way God did it with Job, when God was talking to Satan and said, there's no one like Job. God must be able to point at us who belong to local churches as examples of holiness. Holiness as children in the family. Holiness as husbands. Holiness as wives. Holiness as workers. Holiness as neighbors. Because of a Christian, are you a Christian today belonging to a local church? Can God point at you as an example? Give you as a good example for the world to come and see a sample or a model of holiness? But God is also equipping the local church to be an assembly of workers or laborers in the Lord's vineyard. Ephesians 4:12 tells us that God has given preachers and teachers to the church. For what purpose? So that we may just enjoy listening to them? No. To prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Whom do you think will do God's work in this world?
Yeah.
You. And that's why God has given you pastors and elders and teachers and preachers, so that you might be equipped. Equipped for what? To work for God in this world. But furthermore, God is producing assemblies of students of God's word. Men, women, boys and girls who read, study the Bible. Like the Bereans in Acts 17 and verse 11, we are told, now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. And these are supposed to be found in the local church, men and women who are studying God's words continuously. But they are not only studying God's word, they are obeying God's word. The Jews at Berea were praised for the reason that they searched the scriptures. Is it not true that we are living at times or in times of great error, where people are teaching things that are not in the Bible? God is looking for church members who will not only study the word, but who will resolve to obey it and live by it and respect its authority. But God is raising up, wants to raise up in our local churches, people who pray. In Acts chapter 2 verse 42, the new believers devoted themselves to prayer. But God is also raising up people who cheerfully give of their resources, whatever that those resources may be, to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that the work of Christ will spread and grow. This then is a sample of God's purpose for the local church. Remember, we started with the question, why the local church? You see, just as a football team is expected to play football. It is an abnormality to have a local church which does not worship God in truth and in spirit.
Yes.
It is an abnormality to have a local church which does not witness. It is an abnormality to have a local church which does not lead holy and separated lives. It is an abnormality to have a local church which does not serve the Lord, study God's word, does not pray, does not take part in the sacrament, and does not give sacrificially to the Lord's cause. It is an abnormality. So we should, why church? Why the local church? We should not be satisfied with just being church. We should not be satisfied with just getting a few benefits here and there. There are many people who want to get benefits, like they want to get married in church. They want their marriage to be blessed in church. They want their children to be blessed in church. They want all the nice things, benefits about church, but they end there. After that, they go out there to do their own thing. That is not what God meant church to be. God meant church to be a family where we will be equipped to serve Him and bring glory to His name whilst we live our lives here on earth. I conclude by saying the church is not a human institution. It is God's creation, and He has specific purposes He wants to fulfill through it. As we associate, therefore, with our local church, let us seek to reap the benefits which God intended us to reap. But let these benefits equip and prepare us to serve the Lord with all our might as we live our lives in the world until He calls us back to Himself. May church take on special meaning. May we belong to a church because we want to save and bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church. May the Lord bless you, church.